There's the music, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of Raider Rap. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dusty Budd, sports director at KYMN Radio, and we got a jam-packed show lined up for you today. We're going to be recapping the Raider football victory last night against New Prague. 49-13 was your final, and I've got a couple of defensive coaches in here, Mark Whitehall and Sean Dubé, to talk about that, and for the Trojans to get to 13, they're not going to be very happy how that happened, I guarantee that, but we'll delve into that in a little bit here. It was just still a very good game overall for the Raider defense and the Raider offense and the Raider special team. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that, recap that. Then after I talk with these gentlemen, then I'm going to bring in members of the Highliner Reunion Committee. They are celebrating 50 years as a program at Northfield High School, and they're going to be recognized for their efforts next weekend. They're having some teams inducted into the Northfield High School Hall of Fame. That will be at homecoming next Friday, the football game against Austin. And then they're having just fun festivities throughout the weekend celebrating 50 years of being a program. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that and how you can participate and help out with the with this 50th reunion. They've got a few tickets and stuff that they're selling to show support. So we'll give you information on that. And then Ned the Horse Farmer calling after that, talking about Farmington Tiger football. The Tigers had a game last night, I believe, against Rosemount. So we'll hear Ned recap that game for you as well. So it's a full Raider Rap here on KYMN. But before I go any further, I want to go ahead and bring on my football coaches, Sean Dubé and Mark Whitehall. The reason no students are here is because they're doing what the football team does. And after a big storm on Thursday, they're out around and helping clean up yards and farms and everything like that. So it's a kind of a good service project for the Northfield Raiders. So that's what they're doing. So no kids today, but we've got a couple of coaches that are kind of like kids, right? You know, you guys are big kids at heart, aren't you, Mark?
Maybe just a little bit.
Sean?
Yeah, Coach Whitehall has got a bigger child heart than I do.
Yeah, right. Well, guys, I thank you so much for coming on and recapping the game. 49-13. Coach Whitehall, just real briefly, just your overall, before we delve into it a little bit, your thoughts overall on the game.
Overall, we really settled down that first series when they just rattled off that big run and they scored on that first drive. And it, you know, we're kind of sitting there, oh, it's going to be a slugfest because we scored right away. But then the kids settled down. They just adjusted to a couple of things that they were doing, blocking, and we got our reads in. And so overall, we played really good because after our first series, the first half then was all 3-0 for them. I think they had 4 or 5 series in there, mm-hmm. And so that's nice that happens. And we had a nice goal line stance when we got it down to the 10, and off of a turnover, we held really well. And so overall, you know, we're getting better.
Yeah, it was great. You know, you mentioned that. The next, can you talk about Coach Whitehall, the transition you made after that first drive? They were using the jet sweep, getting around the edge there, really blocking out your ends and making moves. But then, you know, it kind of, like you said, settled down. What was the message, or what was the change you did to stop that?
I think a little bit the kids, when we run scout against us, it's not always fast and crisp. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to a game, when people start hitting those jet sweeps, it's faster and they get more bodies out there. And they were doing some false pulls, getting our linebackers out of there. But it's more like with our corners didn't come up on the edge and feel really well. And then we missed some missed tackle with the safety, and our end got washed down. And so it was that one big play, and then the kids just started to, you know, wonder what's going on. And it's just getting back to the basics, reading your keys and doing what you're assigned to do.
All right, very good. Well, so they did. Raiders got the ball first. Mitch Tanchina does what Mitch does, a nice return. Michael Imes really, really doing really well for Northfield offensively last night, had a lot of key receptions. Coach Dubé, I know your defensive side, but you were watching the game. Talk about Michael Imes on the offense and how he's kind of growing into his own as a possession and a good solid receiver for Mason Zick.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity of coaching Michael during the summer as well during Legion Baseball, and I think the one thing you can say about him is he's incredibly coachable, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, if he's not doing something correct or if there's a tweak that needs to happen, he's willing to make that change in order to get better. And he runs smooth routes, catches the football. Ball security is you know, number one priority for him, and he's continuing to grow in that way. And, you know, you get a kid like Michael who's willing to compete and willing to get better every day. that's what you're going to get out of them.
All right, sounds good. Again, we have so the Raiders and the Trojans go back and forth their first opening plays, and all of a sudden it's 7-7. We're thinking, oh, this is going to be an interesting game here. And then Raider defense does what they do. Not much to say for the Trojans in the first half defensively, and that's because the Raider defense was very solid. I have down here on their third possession, they had a big return on a kickoff, but then you guys held them and turned them over on downs. Mark, there it was like maybe the 18. Yard line or so, something like that, and talk about that defensive play and what that did for momentum.
Well, I think for us, you know, it's when you get that long run and we're pinned down there, it's like, okay, can we step up? And kids are making the plays, and that's, we've been really fortunate the last couple of years. We've had kids that can make some great plays and shut them down, and then I think there was it fourth down anywhere in that series there, they had a little bit of a pass, and we came with some pressure. And I always like to have pressure. You know, I think there's a kid open, but when a quarterback's thrown off his back foot, he's not very accurate, and we're fortunate that way. And so they picked that up. You know, the kids really did a great job with some blitzes, getting pressure with the ends and stuff like that, and our coverage was good enough to get the job done.
Very good. The Raiders, so they take care of New Prague in the first half. Northfield, on the other hand, my goodness, I'm looking at my notes here on their drives here, guys. Offensively, it was just precision engineering for Northfield in that first half. And, you know, it goes back to Mason Zick, and we talk a lot about Mason this season, but there's a reason. The kid's really doing well and really running the offense and making his throws. People are playing behind him. Line's getting a good block. I mean, he had a good time last night. Coach, maybe Sean will ask you about Mason Zick and his play that he's bringing to the table this season.
Well, I think Coach Sullivan, you know, kind of hit the nail on the head last night and talking about Mason, but he's obviously improved a ton over the course of the last month. You know, getting a ton of reps obviously improves that and helps that, and getting more comfortable in the pocket. And obviously the guys up front have done a great job of protecting him, and then receivers kind of creating separation in the secondary and able to get open for him. And that makes it tough on a defense when you have you know, an offensive line who can block, and then you got a smart guy like Mason Zick to step up in the pocket and trust his keys, right? Trust what he's looking at, trust his coaching from Coach Sullivan, and delivering the ball where it needs to be placed. He's done a great job of that in the entire year.
Mark, this is an aspect that, you know, we've seen this over the last, you know, maybe 5 years or so, where Coach Sullivan opens up the pass game a little bit, because it used to be Northfield back in my day, it was run, run, run. I felt bad for the receivers because all they were doing was blocking for the running backs. But now you have quarterbacks, and the way the game's changed, where passing is part of it. And the Raiders, how nice is it having a passing game? Some teams, I think like Faribault, not much of a passing game there. They really couldn't do much but run. Where the Raiders have the luxury of running or passing, and even that pass game is very crisp. Mark, how's that dynamic working for, and how fun is it to see a team being able to open up the offensive playbook like that?
It's put so much pressure on defenses, and as you know, we get up there after we're done with the defense, it was fun to watch our offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just making plays all of a sudden. Sometimes it was a third and long and made every one of those, and so they were crisp. It takes a lot of pressure off us when we're scoring a lot of points. And the other thing is, we got a lot of skilled kids. You know we're talking about, you know, Michael Lines, but you got, you know, Jimmy Vitito, you know, Mitchell, you know, you start going right down the line, you know, Luke LaPlanta, you know, Rataj making great catches, Luke Johnson. And there's so many kids out there that, you know, catching the ball, and they got speed to break it and going on, you know. So it's fun to watch, and it's good because now teams can't just, you know, load up and stop the run. And we're not as big, you know, back in your day, too. You know, it's like we had some big linemen.
Yeah, you had some hosses.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we're a little bit smaller and quicker, so we have to adjust to the talent that we have. And I think Coach Sullivan does a great job of, okay, what can we adjust this year on the offense, just not to do the same old all the time. And, you know, when you put trips and trip splits out there, at the secondary, it's got to be really good. It's kind of reminds me of playing Mankato West when mm-hmm. they were winning some state titles.
Exactly.
You know, that's what you can spread it out, and then you can come back and you can hit the run. It opens up the run then, because now you got to take people out of the box to help with the pass, and you're dropping the ends, and it just makes it very difficult for a defense to defend.
All right. I know you guys are defensive coaches here, so let's talk some defense here. Coach Dubé, I see you have a little bit of some stats out there. Some things that stuck out to you defensively. Who are some guys that made some nice plays or really showed up last night that you can think of offhand? Coach Dubé, I'll ask you that question. Defensively.
Well, I can talk about the secondary.
Okay, let's talk about the secondary.
You know, in the secondary, I'd say, you know, we've had four guys that have really kind of stepped up. You got you know, Luke LaPanta at safety. You have Mitchell Stanchina at safety. You have Graybow. And then you also have
Ross Miller
at that corner as well. You know, those four guys have really been steadfast in the secondary. And the one thing Coach Waitala does an outstanding job of is making adjustments during the game. And after that first series, you know, they hit a few on us. You know, we're pulling the guards the opposite way, and they kind of created a seam in there. And we kind of made some adjustments in the secondary. And obviously those guys respond to the coaching. And they make the plays when we make the adjustments, and they're incredibly coachable. So those four guys, you know, we had some errors in there a little bit early on, but after that, they kind of flipped the switch a little bit, made the adjustment, and started kind of filling the alleys that we needed to fill. And when they do that, you know, you only give up 13 points.
Absolutely. And let's talk about what happened, you know, so we got to talk about that in that second touchdown that Newprig did. I know you guys don't want to, but let's talk about it here. Raiders go down, score on a play, answer back. They have a big lead, and then right away a 70-yard touchdown right up the gut on your defense. Mark, I'm sure there was some sort of breakdown there. Break that down. But the Raiders did well after that, you know, but talk about that play a little bit.
There's about five or six people that made a little misstep on there. You know, they kicked out our end, and our linebacker came in and didn't quite feel hard enough. Our nose stood up and made a big wall. Our backside linebacker didn't, what I call, come over the top. He ran through in the front side of it. You know, so that was where he should have been, would have been that little seamy hit. And then our safety misses and our corner doesn't get there. You know, so on defense, it's truly 11 guys, you know, being in the right spot at the right time. And it was perfect for them. They hit it. And like I say, five, six guys just didn't do what they needed to do at the same time. But the other thing, getting back to it a little bit, you know, talk to Sean about who really stepped up is Ethan Riley at the end, you know, after that first series, and he started to be a bigger man. You know, he's a really grown person there, and he dominated a couple of times in there where they try to block him. He got a field, and I know he got a five-yard loss. And we always say it's first down is so crucial for us. Get him in second and long. And when you're second and 15, you know, then we can do a few more things. We get a little aggressive on the defensive side. Yep. We're going to put a lot of pressure on him to make that offense. He'll make a big play and not sit back. And he did a great job. And then, we, you know, Jimmy Vitito is rotating through at DN. He helps us out there tremendously and adds some more depth there. So it's really, you know, with our D-backs and, you know, we're just trying to get more depth all year with it, improve.
You know, I go back to the Mankato East game, and I remember watching that game and seeing, you know, the Raiders kind of missed tackles and, you know, not the best defensive performance for your team. But however, it seems like they've really kind of tightened things up and are getting a little bit more crisp. Coach Waitala, talk about that transition you've seen from that first week of Mankato East where they were tackling high or maybe not getting as aggressive and tackling as hard to now where they're making plays. We're starting to see this defense come to fruition here.
A little bit has to do with it's not knowing, maybe trying to, like last year we had a great run.
Right.
And then so I think some of the guys just say, hey, we're just going to show up. And then until you start looking on tape what you're doing wrong and you get, you know, good game film and you say, okay, this is what we've been trying to tell you. And that gets back to the kids. Okay, now they looked at it and said, oh, this is what you're talking about. And then I look at it, I get, you know, like, you know, we got Sean Dubé here and Steve Hill and we got Brent Yule, you know, coming in and just doing a great job of getting back to the basics and, you know, getting them confidence. Okay, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. And bring that enthusiasm and running to the ball.
Okay. So. Yep. No, and it's going good. Anyways, the Raiders, guys, take care of business. 49-13 against New Prague. Now you have Austin coming home. Faribault took it to Austin a little bit last night, but it's still a new team, a new game, and you guys got to be ready for it. What's going to be the message, Coach Dubé, in practice this week as you prep for the Austin Packers?
Well, I don't want to put words in Coach Sullivan's mouth, but I think the game plan will be focus on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Do what we do and continue to do it better than we did last week.
There you go.
You know, Coach Waitala talks all the time about we're not going to change our scheme or we're not going to, you know, do all these different things just to match another team. We're going to do what we do, our base stuff, and we're going to try to do it better than what we did before. We might throw a wrinkle or two in here, you know, once in a while to try to mix things up. but we're just going to get better and focus on ourselves.
One aspect of the game that I'm looking at my notes here that I want to make sure we mention is when the Raiders get a big lead like that, that allows other kids to get opportunities to come in and play. I was thinking on the offensive side, toward the end of the game, Colby Olsen had a 6-yard touchdown run, which was huge for him. Ethan Johnson last week, you know, got opportunities when the Raiders had that lead against Faribault. Coaches, I'm sure for you guys defensively as well, you guys were able to play some of your backups and stuff. How nice is that for you as coaches, getting, you know, a lot of people into the game like that?
It's two things: to give them the experience, but you know, a lot of these kids, you know, they're running scout. Here's an opportunity for them to get on the field and show what they can do, and it's great when they can get in, and the more that can happen, and the more other kids can get reps and get downs playing is awesome, because it builds everybody up, and they're more enthusiastic, you know, coming in the next day to practice, and everybody's feels more part of the team. And we try to stress, because our scout is so huge for us. Mm-hmm. It's just not the, you know, our 11 to 15 guys that we start on defense, is that the guys running plays and trying to get them better every week is just as important as, you know, I always look at it, the weakest link is as strong as we're going to be.
Okay.
And so that's, so we got to get everybody better.
Coach Chabay, your thoughts on that, getting everybody in the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing I think about most is your one injury away from having to play the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to go into a game where in the fourth quarter you get some of these other guys some experience, then the lights aren't so bright, right? Then the stage isn't so big for them when they have to go out in there and play and compete. And so that's, you know, one of the benefits of getting a lead is, let's put some other guys in, give them some experience, because down the road they might have to play, and they might have to play a huge role.
Okay. Very good. Well, guys, it was a nice victory last night, 49-13. Again, Raiders defeating the New Prague Trojans. We're 3-1 on the season, marching on through the season. Austin next week, homecoming. I'm sure it's going to be a great atmosphere. I'm sure you guys are going to be jacked up, ready to go and kick some butt against the Packers. But for today, thank you guys for coming in. We really appreciate it, recapping the game. And nice victory last night. Now let's go get Austin.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having us in, Dusty.
You bet. That's Mark Whitehall and Sean Dubé from the Raider football team coaching staff. We'll take a quick break and be back, talk some Highliners right after this.
Wake up, take a shower, feed the kids, make kids lunch, kids to school, drive to work, work, drive home, help with homework, mow the lawn, kids to sports, run errands, make dinner, do the dishes, do the laundry, walk the dog, pick up the house, kids to bed. Ah, kick your shoes off and relax.
As a proud supporter of Northfield Schools and Raider Athletics, everyone at ServiceMaster by Iatt knows that life can seem to get away from you. Balancing daily schedules of work along with kids' school and sports schedules can seem to be impossible at times, but you find a way to do it. When you finally get a chance to kick your shoes off, ServiceMaster by Iatt will make sure your feet relax on soft, clean floors. They deserve it.
If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. I'm Greg Berube, the owner of CrossFit Scopus. After spending time in our facility and with our team, we want our members to walk out of our doors feeling like a better version of themselves. You can lose weight, build muscle, and get a great workout in, but the community and support of Scopus will keep you coming back for more. Go to CrossFitScopus.com. We will help you build life-changing habits that improve your quality of life for now and for the future. We are CrossFit Scopus in Dundas, right by Menards.
For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
All right, and welcome back to Raider Rap, everybody. A great conversation there with the defensive coaches for Northfield. But now we're going to transition into Dance Line, the Northfield Highliners. And no, it's not wintertime, and no, Coach Chaney and some captains are not here right now. They'll be here coming up in the wintertime. But we have got some veteran Highliners in studio to talk about a big event that they have going on next weekend, homecoming weekend. They're celebrating 50 years of being a program at Northfield High School. So we're going to hear from Laura K. Allen, Kryn Finger, and Kristen Everson Cade. Kristen Cade, the Averson Kristen, is a little weird for me to say from my days when you were my teacher back then. But let's go ahead and, yeah, I don't want to date you too much here. but we're going to talk about them, and they're going to tell a bit about the program and how you can help out, some opportunities for you to show your support for the Highlander Dance Program. So I'm going to bring them on right now and say, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, hello, hello. All right. So I guess, Laura Kay, we'll just go ahead and start with you. A little bit about what this program that you guys are working on for next weekend is all about.
Well, we're really excited because next weekend we are going to celebrate 50 years of the Highlander organization. So in addition to the reunion weekend, we will also highlight five state championship teams that will go into the Northfield Athletic Hall of Fame. And those teams were from 1984, 86, 87, 92, and 2004. So it's going to be lots of activities. We have lots of people coming back, Highliners over 50 years, and of course our own Highliners that are currently dancing this year. So it's going to be really a fun weekend. We anticipate the best weekend ever.
All right. Chris and Kate, I want to get your thoughts on the planning, and I'm sure you guys are able to do math knowing that this was the 50th years, but how long have you guys been planning these programs and getting ready for this weekend coming up next weekend?
Gosh, you know, we've been meeting for over 3 months.
Okay.
30 hours, actually, we've been meeting. Hundreds of emails and texts, and the celebration is really ready to go. We have a committee. And of Laura K. Allen, Kryn Finger, myself, Liz Cheney, Dana Holden, Jamie Mills, and Maddie Salisbury, which we are all former dancers and coaches, and we've really have had a great time being together and planning this wonderful event.
Very good. Yeah, Jamie was in my grade. I remember that.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Yes. Let's go ahead and talk to Kryn Finger here. Kryn, I guess just want to get, you know, it's got to be exciting to know that the program has been around for 50 years here. And just, you know, what made you, and maybe I'll ask all three of you this, but what made you, when you were a part of the program, want to join the dance line, the Highliners?
Well, that's a good question. I moved to Northfield around the time that I joined the Northfield Highliners as a dancer. And I was on the team back in 1980 to 83.
Okay.
And Laura Kay was my coach. And when Laura Kay retired, she suggested that I apply for the coaching position. And I did, and then I coached for 4 years.
Okay.
And within that 4 years, we've had a 1992 state championship.
All right. Very good. Very good.
And the reason I joined was it was a well-known organization to be a part of. It was hard to join. You mm-hmm. had to try out. And I had lots of friends and made lots of friends throughout the year with that.
Perfect, perfect. Kristen, same question. What made you want to get involved, be a part of the Highliners when you were in school?
Yeah, well, my sister was a dancer, and I really looked up to these women as they were on it. It was fun to watch. At the time, they performed during halftime mm-hmm. of football and basketball games, community events, and it was a great thing to watch, and I saw her dancing all of the time in the basement, all around. Laura Kay was her coach. And it was just something that you aspired to be when you were a little girl. When she finished dancing, I became a dancer, mm-hmm. Was a dancer for 4 years, and then actually became the coach after she finished coaching. Let me back up. Laura Kay was my coach in 3 of those 4 years that I was on the dance team with her. We won state.
Okay.
So 84, 86, and 87, we took first place.
Nice.
So it was a fabulous program. Absolutely loved it. And then I was the coach also.
All right. We're going to date Laura Kay here. You were on that first team, weren't you in 68?
No, not quite, but it was close. I was on the fifth team ever. So the team started in 1968, and I was on. I became a member, was selected the spring of 1972. So I was on from 1972 through 1975. Took 1 year off. I was a St. Olaf student, and Mr. Gasho was the principal at the time, Bill Gasho, and the opening came up to be a dance line advisor, or coach, and I applied to be the coach, was selected, and I spent 12 of the next 13 years as the dance line coach and had the honor to coach the two women to my right and hundreds of other kids. So it's just, and why did I want to be a highliner? Because I looked up to the women that were on the dance line, and it's fun because I've been reconnecting with some of those women, including the first captain ever. Her name is Julie Tripp Forderer, the Tripp name you probably know from around town here. And it's been fun to talk to her, and she's been in contact with the first dance line coach ever, and that was Jean Wingy, and her name is Jean Wingy Christie, and all indications are that Jean will be there next week. So there are ten people that have ever coached the dance line, and of those 10, seven of those coaches will be back and with us next week, as far as we understand. So that's exciting.
Before we get back into the program, I'm going to ask Corinne and Kristen, I don't know which one of you would want to answer this, some of the biggest changes you've seen in dance line. Is there changes? I mean, dances change, music changes, but how about like scoring and performance and what kind of judges are looking for? What are some of the biggest changes you've seen in the sport from when you guys were on the team to today? I guess Corinne will ask you that.
Okay. Well, I'll start, and Kristen can maybe talk about the second part. As a dancer, as a highliner in the 80s, we were on different classes, like AA, AAA, and so that has changed, you know, who you compete against. Criteria overall, I think, stays pretty the same, but difficulty and legal and illegal moves have changed over the years. And when we were on the team, our knees can tell you that we did some moves that back in the day were legal, and some of us are paying for those. and then when I coached, we did some crazy jump splits and Z drops. And if you've ever watched, I know Bubba Sullivan, Coach Bub, Bubba would walk by and say, "Wow, I can't believe some of those moves." But now Kristen can talk about some of the changes that happened once it became like an official sport.
Okay. Let's go right and ask you that question, Kristen.
Well, and even since when I was a coach, things have really changed also. When I was a coach, we had just started. So I coached from 93 to 2006, and they started adding jazz funk and high kick and jazz funk. And so that was very foreign to me. I could look at it and say, you know, that spinny dingy thing that you're doing, those were turns. The name dance team, it's dance line, then it went to dance team. So in 1995, it changed from dance line to dance team. Really, we tried to make it more into a sport rather than a halftime entertainment.
Sure.
And so competition is very... we really want it to be more competitive than simply, quote-unquote, the halftime entertainment. These girls are really working hard to perfect and not just a performance but a competitive dance.
Sure. Go ahead and keep talking. Yep. I know who that is. I'm going to just put him on hold real quick.
Okay.
So, again, we're speaking with the Northfield Highliners. Their 50th reunion is next weekend. Laura K. Allen, Corinne Finger, and Kristen Everson Cade in studio. Guys, talk a little bit. Well, you know, that's Ned. Ned, you have to call back in a little bit. he's going to talk Farmington football here after you guys are done. So no rush, though. We can make Ned wait because it's Farmington. You know, we can make him wait. We're talking Northfield here. I'm going to go back to we love our neighbors to the north. Don't get me wrong. All right. I guess let's talk more about the weekend now, guys, and some of the things that you have going on. Obviously, you know, we're going to recognize those state tournament teams at the football game at halftime. But what else do we have going on, Laura Kay, for the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you about Friday. And Friday at 5:30, we're going to have a 50th reception for a Highliner 50th reception. After that, we're going to do a photo of women from all 50 years, and we're pretty excited about that. You're exactly right, Dusty. We will go out and recognize the Hall of Fame induction individuals, and then those five teams will also go out. And then that evening, we're going to have a big gathering for the women at it's called Armory. The 50th Reunion Gathering at Armory Square. And those Highliners and their guests will be attending that, so that's exciting. And then on Saturday, we're going on to some more exciting events.
Yes. Saturday morning, we are going to be at 10 o'clock. There's a Continental Breakfast reception, and this will take place at the lower cafeteria at the high school at 11 o'clock. And this is for families, friends, anybody that would like to come. At 11 o'clock, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place. And there are four individuals who are also being inducted into the Hall of Fame, as well as the five state champion dance teams from class of 1984, 1986, 1987, 1992, and 2004. We do want to say that if there are any Highliner families out there, please check out the Facebook account, Highliner Alumni Facebook account, and you are welcome to look on there. We have some videos of the dance teams, of the state dance teams, and go ahead and register. We still have room. We'd love anybody to come to the event that night, or even any event that weekend. We'd love you all to be there. All 50 years. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Please come on down. This is a great time to celebrate our accomplishments and just to see each other.
Continuing on. So now Corinne's going to talk a little bit more about the weekend here.
Well, we'd like to salute first the Northfield 2018-19 dance team and their head coach, Liz Cheney, and her assistant coaches. As we've said several times, the Highliners' first season was during the 1968-1969 school year. So this year's dance team begins the next 50 years.
Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah, perfect. Yep. And, you know, it's great. You know, and you talk about the transition of that being a sport. You know, here on Raider App, I try to get on all of the sports, the activities throughout the season. So in wintertime, I've had Coach Cheney and a couple of captains from the Highliners on and talk about it. When you get that sheet of the fall, winter, and spring sports that they have, Highliners are on there as part of program and part of varsity. It's a varsity recognized program, and I think that's so awesome to see that that change coming and having an opportunity. Cousin Stacy was a Highliner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She's just having Stacy. So was Stacy would have been with your
coach Stacy.
You
and coach
Stacy. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Yep. So my cousin Stacy Budd should I get hold of her and say hey, she'd
yes.
come back for the 50th
yes,
reunion? She's
should.
Out in Pennsylvania right now. So
let her know.
Will do. But anyways. It's great to see that. And guys, I want to talk about the importance of it is for young women, young student athletes to have an outlet like this where they can play and compete in a varsity recognized sport in an MSHSL recognized event and what that means for young women with that opportunity. And I don't know who to throw that to, but we'll put it to Coach down here, Laura Kay.
Well, it's absolutely vital for students to be involved in school activities, and student athletes are, that's one of my passions. I just love it when families and moms and dads and guardians encourage their kids to do those activities. And what a great organization, the Northfield Highliners, the dance line, the dance team. It's just an outstanding organization, and it continues to be here 50 years. And sometimes organizations don't last that long, but mm-hmm. this one has, and it's just an honor to be able to be here and talk about dance line with you today.
If there's somebody out there, people listening outside of the Highliner community that want to help or want to participate, or is there any fundraisers or anything like that, or are you just inviting those 50 teams coming back here? You know, how can out the outside community be a part of this if they would choose to be? Any thoughts on that? Or nope, pretty much just, well, come out to the football game, recognize the teams, yes. The five state championship mm-hmm. teams. Let's talk about those state championships, especially those 80s, 84, 86, 87. That must have been a fun few years for you here. Kristen, I guess we'll ask you that since you were part of those teams and your thoughts on those championships, winning all those championships.
You know, that was a fabulous time, especially in our lives growing up. That was wonderful. Laura Kay was fabulous, obviously instrumental in coaching us. But we had 35, the class of 1984, there were 35 dancers on that year, mm-hmm. 35 in class of 1986 and 31 in 1987. I will say in 1987, over half of the team were seniors, which means that throughout the years, that was such a bonding experience for us. I think we figured out number wise that there were about six of us that stayed on were on the state champion, all 3 years we yep. won, had state championship under our belt. Hopefully all six of us will be there on this weekend. It was just wonderful. It was a real bonding moment for us. Some of us still live in Northfield too.
Yeah.
And
have your coach still living in Northfield. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Running.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and the support the Northfield community gave us and still gives all of the mm-hmm. athletes around here. It's just amazing, and it's not that way in every community. I mean, we just had the whole town behind us.
Yes.
The parents, I mean, Reverend Everson, he is still a Highliner fan. Mm-hmm. It's just great, and he plans to be in attendance. Mm-hmm. I mean, the parents and the, you know, parents of coaches, parents of everybody, it was just great, and what a fine organization, I think. And it was such an honor, as I said, to coach all of these young women over the years.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We have an expression, once a Highliner, always a Highliner. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a family thing to be said, because we do still keep in touch. We have great friends. Mm-hmm. And it was a bonding, like mm-hmm. I said.
Yeah, and I'll just echo that it's been really fun being on this committee, and it's hard work to try to gather 50 years of past Highliners, but it's been great because there's been email exchanges and videos, so we're just hoping that as many Highliners that are in town that weekend can mm-hmm. celebrate with us.
Isn't it nice, too, and I'm not a big fan of social media, but social media helps for things like this, and how has Facebook and some other stuff helped you get the word out to past Highliners that maybe you don't see all the time, but there's a way to connect with them and talk about how that's been important with the numbers in attendance.
Yes. Laura Kay may not be as socially.
I saw that. You're like, I'm out on this one. Yep.
I'm out.
Yes. No, it really has brought a lot of people together, maybe that we haven't connected with over the years. Again, with the Highliner alumni page, mm-hmm. We've really gotten quite a few people, which is great.
It's been great digging back through your old archives of mm-hmm. videos and photos and old sweatshirts, mm-hmm. and I brought my state medallion with
me today. I
see
that, yes.
So that's been great. And through Facebook and social media and email, we've been able to make those connections. I had the privilege of reading a few of Laura Kay's that she's received back from her past Highliners, and boy, do they respect her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, are these championship teams that are being recognized at the football game, is Reber going to have to announce all the names of them?
No.
You're going to make Reber do that?
No. We are not.
There are too many people.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's too many.
Which is
a good thing, yeah.
And it's a team, so it'll be just a quick recognition there.
Sure.
And, of course, the three of us will introduce the teams that we coached. I had a couple of them, and then these guys had coached some of those teams. So that's why the three of us came in today.
She had three teams. Kryn had a team, and I had a team.
Perfect.
That all won the state championship.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, ladies, I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic weekend for you. Have fun. Enjoy it. Have fun reminiscing and seeing all of the old Highliners coming back to town to visit or whatever. I hope they enjoy coming back to Northfield, the ones that are out of town. But I know you guys are going to have a blast. And then you have the event Saturday at the Armory Square, where you guys used to practice.
We used to practice there.
Yeah, see, isn't that so cool how it kind of all comes around here? Yeah.
That's on Friday night.
Okay.
We do want to thank Kim Radio for all of the years. I mean, we've come down here every year for each of these 50 years. Somebody has.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne and you,
Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Man, we couldn't get our word out if it wasn't for Kim Radio. So thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate it. We're local, and we love promoting local. This is as local as it gets. 50 years of the Highliner Dance Team record for Northfield High School. So, ladies, thank you for coming in, and enjoy the weekend next weekend.
Thank you very much.
That's Laura K. Allen. Kryn Finger and Kristen Everson Cade from the Highliner Reunion Committee. 50 years as a program, and they're celebrating it next week. And we're going to take a quick break and be back with Ned the Horse from Natak Farmington Football. That'll coming up right after this.
Wake up, take a shower, feed the kids, make kids lunch, kids to school, drive to work, drive home, help with homework, mow the lawn, kids to sports, run errands, make dinner, do the dishes, do the laundry, walk the dog, pick up the house, kids to bed. Ah, kick your shoes off and relax.
As a proud supporter of Northfield Schools and Raider Athletics, everyone at ServiceMaster by Iatt knows that life can seem to get away from you. Balancing daily schedules of work along with kids' school and sports schedules can seem to be impossible at times, but you find a way to do it. When you finally get a chance to kick your shoes off, ServiceMaster by Iatt will make sure your feet relax on soft, clean floors. They deserve it.
If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. I'm Greg Berube, the owner of CrossFit Scopus. After spending time in our facility and with our team, we want our members to walk out of our doors feeling like a better version of themselves. You can lose weight, build muscle, and get a great workout in, but the community and support of Scopus will keep you coming back for more. Go to CrossFitScopus.com. We will help you build life-changing habits that improve your quality of life for now and for the future. We are CrossFit Scopus in Dundas, right by Menards.
For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
All right, and welcome back to Raider Rap, everybody. We're now going to be joined by Ned the Horse from Natak Farmington Football. Ned, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Dusty.
Hi, we had a little technical difficulty there trying to get it all on, but we got it worked out. So, Ned, thank you so much for calling in, your weekly call-in here. You do Farmington Tiger football for KYMNSports.net if people want to listen to that. And the Tigers, I believe, was it Rosemont this week, Ned?
Correct, Dusty. Yeah, they hosted Rosemont for their homecoming last night. And, you know, here's the amazing thing, Dusty. We're already halfway through the regular season, which just kind of blew me away last night. So, how about that?
It flies through. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the game, recap it, and how did the Tigers do?
Well, actually, it was a defensive struggle for the first part of this ballgame, which is a bit of a surprise. The Tigers came out. They have a new quarterback. We talked about this last week, Dusty, and they're going to name it with Alex Barrett. He's a sophomore quarterback. This is a kid, if I remember talking about, he's going to control the 80-mile-an-hour fastball, got a rocket for an arm, moves well in the pocket. So the Tigers and Rosemont Irish exchanged possessions four times before any scores happened in this ballgame. But it was the Irish who would score first. They got a fumble from the Tigers, and they went, they started their own 21-yard line. They went 79 yards, 14 plays, and it was Green going in from 15 yards out. Garrison Green, remember that name? That kid has got some speed, 7-0 Irish. Tigers come back. They go 4-0 to get back to the Rosemont Irish, who this time go 5 plays in 44 yards, and it's Green again going in from 1 yard out, 14-0. But the Tigers put a drive together, starting from their own 20-yard line. They drive all the way down to the 15-yard line of the Rosemont Irish, go for it on 4th-and-2, high snap on a fake punt. They come up about a half a foot short, give it back to the Irish. Irish go right back to work. They start 1st-and-10, their own 10-yard line, and then they drive all the way down the field on a, and they score on a Carter to Reuter 34-yard touchdown pass. It's 21-0, and that's where we go to at the break, as the Rosemont Irish on top of the Tigers. Second half action right from the get-go, 4 plays, 46 yards. It's Carter to Barnick. They had 28-0, and the Irish would add one more touchdown, but the Tigers did come back, and they started their own drive. This time it was after an interception by Bombach, and this is just before the fourth quarter, Dusty. They were 3 plays, and the Tigers go in the end zone. This time it's Jans going in from 2 yards out, and this is at the 2:49 mark of the third quarter. They had 35-7. That's where we would stay, Dusty. That was the final that here last night, 35-7. Rosemont Irish go to 2-2 on the season. Oh, the Tigers go to 0-4. But the record they have doesn't really exemplify how they play. I mean, they're in most games, well, with the exception of Lakeville North, who actually just blew them off the field last week. But they kind of shoot themselves in the foot. One of the big problems with this spread offense is, first off, they go a no-huddle offense throughout the game. And if you have 3 straight incompletions, your defense is back on the field in a hurry. So their defense gets quite a workout, and they'll stay with most teams so they get to about the third quarter, and then they just kind of run out of gas. And it's difficult to keep playing defense. But they did find a weapon now in this new Alex Barrett. Next week, they're on the road. This is the game at the Vikings training facility. They'll be taking on the Eagan Wildcats.
Yep.
Eagle Wildcats got smoked by the Rosemont 52-6, I think it was. And that was last week. So Rosemont Irish, they have a bit of an easier schedule going down the pipe here. And the Tigers, they have the Eagle Wildcats. Then they have Burnsville Blaze. Then they have to travel and take on another little juggernaut in this conference. So this conference wasn't even a conference anymore. They take on the Wayzata Trojans in Wayzata. They finish up with Lakeville South. But yeah, 4 games after the regular season, and we re-rack for the playoffs, and who knows what's going to happen between now and then. I mean, the Tigers can right the ship here with this new quarterback, get back on a winning track here, pick up a couple wins, get some momentum going as they go into playoffs. I mean, I'm getting tired of believing we're kind of looking at playoffs here, but 4 more games, and that's where we're at, Dusty. It's amazing.
Realistically, Ned, with the Tigers throwing a sophomore quarterback out there now, is it kind of trying to build for the next couple of years to kind of get a head start on that, or are they looking to, they think that this guy gives them their best chance to win right now?
Well, that's a good question, Dusty. I think you're right on both counts here. I think this guy will probably give him a shot to win a couple of these games down the stretch here. He's going to have an opportunity for a couple of games coming up to win. It is what it is. This, you know, this 6A football is tough football.
I mean, yeah.
You're at the bottom or you're at the top. You know, so I think they can get a couple more wins with this kid if he stays healthy and the rest of the offensive line stays healthy. They're looking at just trying to pick up some wins this year. And you're exactly right, Dusty. I mean, he's a sophomore. Let's see if he can wait to his junior year. For the most part, Booker, and I didn't see him at all last night on the field. I think he may be done for now, but we'll see what happens. You know, strange things happen in this league. So, yeah, that's kind of where it's at right now, Dusty. And it's going to be fun to broadcast from the Viking training facility next Friday night. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they have multiple fields there. I have not been there either. But what they're telling me is this is going to be an outdoor game. They have there's a part where it's kind of like a big garage door. That's the way they kind of say it. And it just kind of rolls back. So you can still have outside game on turf, et cetera, et cetera. It will be Egan's homecoming game on next Friday night. So that should be add some more interest to this whole thing. But, you know, it's fun. It's always fun to see some of these players, some really good players. Lakeville North, interesting one there. They won South last night. No surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
But the one game coming up next Friday night, this is going to be interesting. The Wayzata Trojans come in to take on Lakeville North Panthers on Panthers turf. And that should be an interesting game to watch. The Lakeville North number one in the state of Minnesota, yada, yada, yada. But that should be a fun game to look at.
What about What about Northfield Austin at Memorial Field? You don't think that's the game of the night in the state?
I see that Faribault beat Austin last night. I think they're going to roll those guys up.
And if Faribault beat Austin as badly as they did last night, Northfield playing Austin, we better take care of business on Friday. We don't have, it's funny looking at the schedule, and Coach Sullivan has said this, Ned, is that the teams get progressively, more difficult as they go through. So they got a little roadblock here in Austin, and then, we get into Owatonna's and the Rochester's. So, that's going to be really the big one. So the Raiders it's really that Owatonna game in a couple of weeks is kind of what, you want to kind of see which will really measure this team, because I don't think Owatonna's really been tested this year, nor has Northfield really been, even with the Mankato East loss, a lot of mental mistakes in that game, and the first game of the season for a lot of kids that didn't play last year. So I'm going to kind of call Mankato East, if they were to play Mankato East again, I think the Raiders probably win and win handily, and then they've had these nice wins here lately. So, unlike the Tigers, the Raiders, building up to a big one against Owatonna, that could be something. But we got Austin next week, so we'll hopefully take care of business. And so it says Tigers, realistically against Egan, possibilities there for a victory?
Yeah, I think so, Dusty. I think this is going to be about the most evenly matched game they've had so far this season. They played Shakopee Sabres earlier this year. They're up 21-7 going into the fourth quarter, and they gave up, three touchdowns. Go back to the first game of the season. The Woodbury Royals are all talking about how good they are. Tigers had them 28-21 going into the fourth quarter, and then just blew up and gave up 28 points, a loss on 49-28. So, it is what it is. I mean, it's things can turn in a hurry. They just got to play, and you've heard coaches say this over and over and over again. They just got to protect the ball, play the ball. Don't give up those big plays, and hang on to the football, for goodness sakes. I mean, you can't fumble the football on the 5-yard line and hope to God that your defense is going to come out and stop them every time,
Right.
So that's kind of how I see it. But, it is what it is, and we'll see. Egan, they can win that one. Burnsville, they can win that one. That's at Burnsville. Wayzata, tough one there. And they can win South. They could beat South at home the last regular season game. That's usually that senior game,
mm-hmm.
Last home game. And if they could pick up 3 wins, it's possible they'll host that first playoff game. Is so weird in the 6A where everybody goes and how they play and the point systems and everything else they use to determine who's playing who. And I will say, this is just my thought process, is that you play the Lakeville Norths and the Rosemonts of the world and you get into that playoff run and you run into maybe Roseville or something like that who have somewhat of an easier schedule. I mean, it can be a whole different ball game going down, in the playoffs. But that's where it is so far.
Okay.
0-4 Tigers looking for that first win.
All right. Well, go get it next week. Go spoil Egan's homecoming. Enjoy broadcasting at the TCO Performance Center. And we'll talk to you next week then, Ned.
Thank you, Dusty. Always a pleasure.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
Yeah, you. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Ned the Horse Farmer. He does Farmington Tiger football on KYMNSports.net. And, I think that's probably a good spot to stop here. We have got, I believe what's on tap is the 11 o'clock program today. They go bi-weekly with Northfield Outdoors. So one of those two programs coming up here at 11 o'clock in just a couple of minutes. And then we have Minnesota Twins baseball. Yes, I know the Twins, they're still playing. We're still fans. We're still rooting for them, even though that it's September. We're getting a lot of opportunities. He's going to see a lot of the young kids for the future, but we do broadcast those Twins games here on KYMN. So Minnesota Twins having a game tonight. So they play the Oakland Athletics. Looks like 7:30 is the pregame. 8:05 is the first pitch. That's all right here on KYMN. Other than that, we'll just call that a day. I want to thank my guests that came in, Sean Dubay and Mark Waitala from the Raider football team, and then Laura K. Allen, Kryn Finger, and Kristen Everson Cade from the Highliner 50th Reunion Committee. Highliner celebrating 50 years. Raiders got a victory last night. We're back home next week to take on the Austin Packers. So let's hope for another victory there, and let's keep this winning streak on. Now the Raiders have won 3 in a row. They're 3-1 on the season. And tune in throughout the week here. Jeff recaps the other sports that happened here at Northfield High School, and we'll get more in depth next Saturday as well. Until then, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on KYMNRadio.net. Have a great day.